The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. This is the podcast of A Clear Path Financial Partners. I'm Hank Stoltz, and as always, Ryan Kittredge, the founder of A Clear Path Financial, is here with you today. And Ryan, today you brought along Jim Black. Now, Jim is the founder of the Jim Black Group at Real Brokerage. They're in Auburn, Massachusetts. 20 years experience in real estate brokerage, investment properties, and property flipping right here in central Massachusetts and northern Connecticut. Ryan, I'm going to turn things over to you, and we'll hear from some of the great advice that you and Jim have for us today.
That's it. Absolutely. Thanks, Hank. Thanks for having me. Just trying to bring in the experts here, you know, to round off the knowledge and to, you know, give my voice a little break and let the people hear, you know, somebody else chat for a few minutes. It'll be great. So, yeah, I've known Jim a long time, a great friend of mine. I mean, I don't even know, going back close to 15 years, has been my personal realtor on a few transactions and has worked with a lot of family and friends, and just a smart guy, and obviously with real estate, but really knowledge that expands beyond that as a small business owner with a background at Fidelity. So Jim has some knowledge of, you know, foundational knowledge in kind of the traditional markets and retirement plans and all that. So he's just a really fun guy to talk to. So thanks, Jim, for being here.
I appreciate it. I'm excited here. This is my favorite stuff to talk about. Talk about real estate investing, talk about just any type of investing. Exciting to me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, real estate, one of those asset classes that people, a lot of times, they either love it and think it's the best thing ever, or they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess stocks are that way in a sense, and people are either tend to be more foundationally, they're sort of traditional, hey, I'm stock and bond investor, I have money in the bank, or kind of hard assets, real estate, especially if they're more of that small business owner. We have a lot of those people as well, but I think really they can be complementary. And so I love real estate as an asset class, and I think it can be really good in conjunction in the plan.
I agree. I think looking at all investments, coming in as with the investor mindset of I'm going to look at all investments, whether it be stock, whether it be real estate, whether it be small business, and figure out what makes the most sense. The one thing I love about real estate is real estate, you have this hard asset. Like if you invest in a stock, that company goes under, so does your account. People have to live in homes. So if you have a hard asset like real estate, it's actually a little bit harder to really mess it up than it is in the stock market. Like you can, I know people with not a whole lot of knowledge have done really well in real estate. I think you start going into the stock market and investing, you know, on your own, you're probably not going to have the same kind of luck.
Indeed. Yeah. It's really tough, I think. And for us and with what we do, we're not the stock picking gurus. I mean, we love to own great quality companies, blue chip stocks and things like that. But in terms of day trading, or it's just, I think, almost impossible, frankly, unless you have insider information, which if any regulators are listening, we certainly don't. But, you know, there's so much information out there and things move at the speed of light that it's really, I think, difficult to get the edge in the knowledge and sort of be in early on a stock. Whereas with real estate, there are properties everywhere. And if you, you know, are willing to do the due diligence or you partner up with the right person, there are those, I think, more ripe opportunities in your backyard in some cases.
I agree. And sometimes it's in your backyard. Sometimes you may be deciding to do it in another state. If you have a partner there, somebody that can manage those properties, it makes sense. But really, you look at the rents, you look at the expenses. If you're making a positive cash flow, you probably should buy the property. That's kind of my philosophy around real estate investing. I don't think it needs to be super hard. I think people sometimes get a little excited and do buy properties that do not cash flow, which I don't agree with that strategy at all. I know there's certain states where you can't get properties to cash flow, where, you know, the money going in and the money going out, there's a negative at the end. I mean, I have a spreadsheet I look at. It's essentially all your monthly expenses, including a property manager, including capital improvements, including maintenance,
taxes,
your
landlord, utilities, water, sewer, all that.
And vacancy.
Build that in, right?
Yeah, yep. You got to build that in. And in a market that's pretty hot, maybe about 5%. In a market that maybe there's vacancies, you might be 10 or 15%. Mm-hmm. But if you don't build all of that into there,
right,
you're going to, at the end, not have any money left. And you're going to be working your 9-to-5 job
right.
to pay for this real estate rather than have the tenants pay for you to own an asset.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to do the math behind it. You can't, and it's not as simple. People, I think with real estate, I mean, not that it can't happen with stocks. People can romanticize stocks and, you know, whether it's because their papa gifted them shares of Pepsi and they, yep. you know, they love it, or it was the company they worked for and things like that. You can get emotional around it. I don't think quite as much as real estate though. That tends to be a very emotional decision, but you need to put the logic behind it and see all of the data, because what I've found in people's math, especially if they're just prone to thinking real estate's a great asset class, is to, you know, say, oh yeah, here's my income and, you know, here's the mortgage payment. And so look at that delta, like I'm making great money. And it's like, well, let's really add everything in, because I find in a lot of investors' experience, especially I think these days, it's really tough to find one that you're just going to step in and cash flow, probably locally to here. And you can speak more about that. I don't have the pulse on the market the way that you do. But I mean, I bought, you know, a two family in 2009 and it was down 40% in value. My friends were like, what are you doing? The market's crashing. Why would you buy real estate now? And I'm like, no, it kind of did crash. And it's, you know, yes, it still mm-hmm. is. But when you see that discount, and I was just thinking again, if I believe in the faith of our resiliency of our consumer and our innovation, our economy long run, then yeah, this is going to be a good investment. But even for me, even getting it at a good discounted price, all the work that needed to go into it, especially because I didn't have the acumen around it, I didn't know, I wasn't very handy.
Yep.
I spent a lot, and it was a lot of years, frankly, before I was cash flow positive, and which is okay, but I think you need to have realistic expectations.
Yeah, and I think it's true. With that being a two-unit building, I find most of the time, I mean, me personally, I probably wouldn't buy a two-unit building in this market that we're in mm-hmm. because it just won't cash flow. However, right. there are years where it has. There's years where it made a lot of sense. Back in 2010, 11, there was a lot of people I was selling buildings to. And one of the biggest things I saw them do was go buy an asset that needs work, that they can put money into it and go ahead and maybe even refi out of it with getting some of your cash back to go and buy another property.
Mm-hmm.
Those opportunities I don't see as much
yeah.
right now as we had yep. seen back then.
Sort of in a mature market.
Yeah, we're in a very mature market where there's a lot of competition. The other thing is a two-unit building, a three-unit building, a four-unit building. If you're an investor trying to buy that building, you are competing with buyers that are going to live in that building that it's still, even when they pay $100,000 more than you would pay as an investor, it makes sense for them because it's the place they're going to live in mm-hmm. and they don't need it to cash flow.
That's right.
So as an investor, you have to go in a little bit non-emotional.
Exactly.
And yeah. you know what your numbers are. And if you can't get it for that, you just need to move to the next opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great to set those parameters and adhere to them, especially these days, like you said, it can be a fuzzy line between an investor and, you know, someone looking to live there and have an offset to their payment. I mean, that's me. Like, I'm not a real estate investor. I would never call myself that. I bought the two family, frankly, because I was out working, been a financial advisor a few years, making like very few dollars, but enough to qualify for like the subsidized low income loan. And some of my clients, you know, in those early days, you know, were self-made, and they still are, you know, these people that kind of pulled themselves up into the bootstraps, went into business for themselves, bought some properties, and they're like, you got to buy real estate right mm-hmm. now. You got in. For me, it was a way to get in and to have the offset to the mortgage payment. So it was more of like a lifestyle thing that I eventually could convert to an investment. But you're right. I mean, purely as an investor, two families, you're not seeing those opportunities. I think you need bigger units and probably in different areas now, right? Outside of Worcester.
You're listening to the podcast of Clear Path Financial Partners. Ryan Kittredge, President Financial Advisor, speaking with Jim Black of the Jim Black Group at Real Brokerage out of Auburn, Massachusetts, and talking about all these opportunities and some of your own personal experiences that, that you've had as well.
Absolutely. So yeah, Jim, tell us a little bit about the market at this point, and not that forecasting and all of that, but just, I imagine it's challenging because of Worcester County in particular. And then I know you cover Northern Connecticut and into Metro West. You helped me buy my house in Northborough. So I imagine those areas are pretty tough these days.
So what I've found is a lot of investors have expanded their search. So Worcester is a very hot market. You start going east towards Boston. Also, the numbers can still be pretty tough. We've had investors going as far west as Springfield, as far south as going down towards Providence, towards Woonsocket, areas like that, Putnam, Connecticut, where the numbers are will jive in those areas. There's one thing you talked about a couple minutes ago about that two family is sometimes time will cure really bad real estate investment decisions. And in
Are
a lot of
that was a really bad decision.
I'm talking about mine. So I'm going to talk about me here. Not your bad decisions, mine.
Okay. All right. Good.
My first investment was also a two unit building in Worcester. And I watched that building drop $100,000 in value. It wasn't cash flowing at the time. And that was 20 years ago. And what I'll tell you is today, I have about a 70% equity in that building. The rents have gone up. It cash flows very well. I look really smart today. And the only smart thing I did is I didn't sell the building.
That's a great point. So that's why we were talking about that before the show.
I mean, you talked about stocks like Coca-Cola. Like if somebody handed a stock like that 30 years ago to you and you just sat on it, you probably made out. Not that you were smart. You just didn't sell something.
That's right. That's right. The time, and it's natural to feel this way, right? When the stock market goes down, and that happens more regularly than the real estate market, those cycles tend to be longer, but also can take a longer time on the downside and to come back. You know, there are these kind of wider tails, but that's not the time to be liquidating unless your back's against the wall, and it shouldn't be if you went in with the right preparation. So I guess the point is that especially with real estate, I mean, if the timing didn't make sense, but the reason you went in and everything else is still true, it's just the economy is now more challenging. That doesn't mean you should change your plan. And it's the same thing with investing as well. Yeah. You have a 30-year time horizon and you're, you know, 85%, 90% in equities in your investment account. Just because we have a 20% bear market doesn't mean now you change gears. That's actually the worst time to.
Yeah, when things are going down, you should be buying. I mean, I look at that. If I'm sitting on the sidelines not loving the investment opportunities that are out there, my suggestion to people would be to prepare, be ready. There's always an up cycle. There's always a down cycle. So at some point, there's going to be opportunities that show up, even if they're not in your market today, and be in that position. Because in 2010 and 11, I was not in that position. I watched a lot of people get very, very wealthy buying real estate. Mm-hmm. And now I look at it, okay, when we have that next opportunity, I will be there. The challenge is you don't want to sit on the sidelines for 40 years either. Right. So if the property makes sense, one of the things that I've seen as a challenge over the years and why people sometimes have to sell real estate is it's very personal, but it's also financial. And you own a property that people live in and you manage that property. Mm-hmm. And those people sometimes take advantage of you that live in those properties.
That's a great point.
And a lot of times, I know for someone like me, I needed to have a property manager in place, somebody separating me from the tenant so they could make business decisions when in reality I was going to make personal decisions. And that's been one of the smartest things I did. It allowed me also to buy more real estate because I could leverage that as well.
That's a great point, Jim. And literally last night reviewing one of my clients, I've worked with them for a bunch of years now, but they own an investment property in Framingham and had it for a bunch of years. But great news, a good friend of theirs lives there, right? Who's like a really nice tenant, but it's wildly under market, right? And yes, it's appreciated for sure, right? Because the market's gone gangbusters the last few years, right? So the value is there and plenty of equity, but from an income standpoint, it's like probably could be half of what the market value is. And she's content. She's like, well, it's, you know, it's paid for and this and that, but that's where it, you know, it stops that emotion that you talked about comes in and, you know, she's not thinking about it like that, but it, the fact is for that investment, it could be producing a couple percent better net yield than it is.
A lot of times, again, because you just mentioned that personal situation, people don't treat it as an investment. They don't treat it as a business. And I see it all. I see people almost lose their houses because they live in a 3-unit or 4-unit building and the market rent is, say, $2,200 a month and they're charging $700 a month because they feel bad increasing the rents.
Right, exactly.
And sometimes, like I said, I'm not an advocate of going in and jumping a rent to $2,200, but you also have to take care of yourself and your family when you're doing that. And some of the opportunities are actually those properties, are somebody who wants to get out of that situation, and you go in and maybe it doesn't cash flow on day one.
I bought
properties like that. They did not cash flow, but the projected cash flow was there. And I knew over a period of 3 to 5 years, I could get the rents to a point where it was going to cash flow really well. And sometimes you can get a discount because it's going to be hard from a financing standpoint to actually buy that building with really low rents.
That's right. Yeah. Because that's part of the equation in terms of the net out of pocket and against your ratios, income to debt ratios or debt to income ratios, they're under market. You're not getting the same type of loan qualification.
But you shouldn't buy a building like that as your first building. Like, we've bought many over the years, and we have other ones basically paying for that one while we get the rents up to where they need
to be. That's right. So what you do is, if you do buy one of those buildings, you call Jim and he gets his team in there, you know, to show up with some baseball bats and say, hey, here's this renting going up, buddy. Get ready.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we started a property management business maybe a year and a half ago for that, because I think there's a huge opportunity to help people become investors while not actually having to run the business. You can literally deal with the big decisions. Most of my tenants don't actually know. If I showed up there, they wouldn't know who I am.
And it
makes it a lot easier for me going forward, because I can't have 5 jobs. And that's the other mistake I see a lot of people do is they don't put in things for maintenance and repairs and things, and they don't put in the property management. So they have to manage the property. They got to fix the toilet. They got to mow the lawn. They got to plow the driveway. Yeah. Next thing you know, that's a full-time job, and they're actually losing money on their regular day job.
Indeed. Absolutely. And you got to go with your skill set as well. Like, so again, I own this 2-family, but I don't have a lot of qualifications as a real estate investor. I'm going to kind of stick to my traditional retirement investments, my small business, those kind of things. For me, I know that on the fix it side, I'm adding no value. So I have to pay for every single thing on the physical end. However, on the property management side, I'm pretty good at, I know a lot of people, pulling together resources and going to my tenants and saying, hey guys, like, here's where the rent is. Here are some comps. We're really at a big discount. We're going to bring it up to close the gap a little bit. That's fine for me, right? Some people, they'll bust out the hammer and nail, and they're going to rebuild the whole thing and save a ton of money, but they're not going to necessarily have a lease agreement that's covering them from a liability standpoint. They're not going to negotiate the right way. So you got to know what your strengths are, I think, like in anything in life, and get the right people to help you.
Absolutely. Go where your strengths are. And like you said, you happen to stumble upon a 2-family. You're not a real estate investor. And the other thing is, you don't have this huge passion for it. Because if you had a passion for it, I would tell you, go be a real estate investor. I'd give you resources to study and learn. Because even if you're hiring all these people, I keep saying hire people to do the repairs, hire people to go ahead and manage the properties. You still need to understand all that. You should never invest in anything you don't understand. I know you've given me that advice in the market, is to not invest in things you don't understand. So you need to understand real estate. You need to understand the contracts. But you may not be that pushy person that can go and say, like, oh, we got to push this rent up. Or you might have somebody who takes advantage of you with repairs because you don't know what it should cost or understand the work. So
that's,
I think,
right,
having a knowledge of houses, having a knowledge of the process is important.
Sure.
But you don't have to do it.
You're right. Absolutely. And it's knowing the right people. And for me, that knowledge gap that I've learned plenty along the way, from clients anecdotally, more so even than my own experience. But I lean on the right people to plug in where needed. And for instance, a contractor that you recommended is there today demoing the apartment of my 2-family that I got sprung on me a few months ago. Hey, great news, Ryan. We bought a house and we're moving out, you know, a 12-year tenant. I'm like, oh, I'm so happy for you. But I got to call Jim and find out who the right people to help me are so that I don't make bad decisions. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate you being here and adding this perspective.
And I think it's probably a good time, Ryan. Jim, if you can let people know how they can get in touch with you and get in touch with the Jim Black Group at Real Brokerage.
Absolutely. So again, we're located at 101 Auburn Street in Auburn, right next to the Auburn High School. You can call us at 508-365-3532, or you can find us on the web at www.jimblacksellshomes.com. Very simple.
I do have, before Ryan tells us how we can get in touch with him as the president and financial advisor at ClearPath Financial Partners, Jim, have all the TV shows that are out there, how has that changed the market and people's perspective where they watch and they go, that's so cool, I want to do that?
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who see those shows, the flipping shows, and say, okay, I can do that.
Yeah,
and again, I just what I said to Ryan earlier, just make sure you educate yourself and understand what you're getting into. Flip houses, and I will tell you, I mess up every time. I don't lose money because I buy it right ahead of time, but there's always repairs that I could not see on my walkthrough. Things that you miss. You open up a wall and now you've got knob and tube wiring that you didn't know existed. Mm. You had a septic that was fine, and by the time you're done with the project, it's not. So I could tell you stories for hours on the things I've done wrong and continue to do wrong. So you have to make sure that you actually know what you're doing and don't just watch a show and buy
right.
a house.
Right.
Please.
I've had some clients say, hey, can you talk to my son or daughter? They have like these, they want to be real estate. They're like, great, I read Rich Dad Poor Dad and I want to buy cash flowing investments right. and sort of put my feet up and just sort of make a bunch of money. And I'm like, cool, are you exploring like Instagram influencer as well as a viable option? So I'm joking, but Jim is your guy. Like, I mean, he's been a resource buying and selling real estate as an investment property manager. He's a good resource and I'm happy to send anybody your way.
Ryan Kittredge, best way to get in touch with you and the team at ClearPath Financial Partners?
ClearPathFinancialPartners.com. Check us out. Give us a ring. Shoot us a message. Happy to chat.
This is the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individuals. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.